always really a privilege for me to be here in Swakop, and I always enjoy coming to the coast as well. So yeah, like you said, God's busy with a couple of things in our lives as well. And going to Windhoek 2 years ago, because we've been there for 2 years, and when we went there, we really thought, but yes, we're hoping for like 10 years, hoping to be in Windhoek for about 10 years, really enjoying Namibia. And then almost all of a sudden came to a place where I felt that God said, no, what he called us to do is done, and it's time for us to move. And it was, in a sense, very difficult. And I remember when I started talking to my wife about it and told her, listen, but I think this is what we're supposed to do. She first said, well, whatever God says is fine, wherever God sends us is fine, but she really hoped that God will maybe tell me, no, we can stay. Because she don't want to move. She would like to stay here in Namibia and Windhoek. But in the end, you know, it's something, one of those things that we really felt, but this is what God is telling us to do. And there's, I think, a lot of times a bigger picture. Because a lot of times we might find ourselves in a place where we start to become comfortable and feel, but we like things the way it is. Can't it just stay like this? And because, if I may say that, Namibia really blessed us as well. Namibia was good for us. But we really felt that, more or less, that God was saying to us that he's got other plans for us regarding Africa, and for him to be able to send us out into those plans, we need to go and get certain things into place. And that's why we are going back. So we're not going back to the Piketberg congregation. We're actually going back, if I may put it this way, to focus on our household and focus on family, and I think for a season focus on our businesses on that side as well, to get things into place to be able to go out to God wants us to go. And how exactly that will happen and when exactly everything will fall into place and for that to happen, we don't know. But I think at the end of the day, all of us is on a journey with Christ, and it's a journey where we need to trust him, that he will take us to the places that he said to us he will take us. So I, you know, even going back, I thought, yes, but a lot of people maybe on that side now, they're going to think, but we're just coming back, and so we've got a whole change of plans and everything. So it might look to some people that we're giving steps backwards, but what we actually know is we're still giving steps forward to fulfill the plans that God has had for our lives and for people around us, to bring that into fulfillment. So we're really looking forward to this next season. And but on the other side, we're really praying for Windhoek, because for us, it's like 2 years that you've sowed into that congregation and into that town. And you really want to see that you've put in there. You want to see that grow. So we're really praying for God to give us wisdom and how to handle everything. And I think it's also that place where we know that, you know, Jesus is the head of the church and he always knows best. So we trust him with that. I think on that note, the previous session as well, we've spoken about journeys and we've spoken about destinations. I think one thing we can all agree on is that all of us sitting here or standing here today, all of us is on some sort of journey. All of us are coming from somewhere. All of us is going somewhere. So this is a journey that all of us are on. And a lot of times when you talk about journey, and yes, we can talk about it in a spiritual sense, but also just physical. If you just think about it, if you're going from here, you're going to Cape Town, for instance. Get into your car, you're going to Cape Town. And we start to talk about journey and we start to talk about destination. We start to ask the question about what is most important. Is it about the journey or is it about the destination? And if we start to talk about that, a lot of people will say, no, you know, it's actually all about the destination. Doesn't matter what happened along the road or anything like that. It's about the destination. It's just about getting there. As long as you get there, it doesn't matter how you get there, just get there. It's about the destination. Where other people will say, no, it's not only about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about how you get there. What's that Land Rover slogan? Something also about journey. Anyone knows it? Any Land Rover drivers around here? Never get there. No, that's not what it say on the Land Rover. What does it say? I'm a Toyota driver myself, but I'm was just curious about any Land Rover drivers in the church or not. But it's about life is a journey, and you should enjoy the ride. But if you think about it, so we can have a discussion, is it about the journey, or is it about the destination? And you know, in the end, it's about both. It's not only about the one or the other. We can't say, you know, just get there. It doesn't matter how you get there, and just get there. On the other side, we can't say, no, just as long as you have enjoyed the journey, it doesn't matter whether you get there or not, just get there. We can't do that. You know, I think the important thing for us to realize is that it's about the journey and it's about the destination. And a lot of times the journey determines whether we reach our destination or not. So we can't throw out one of the two. Both of them is important. And I want to go to a biblical example of people on a journey. And this is people that was on this journey for, let's call it this specific season of their journey. They've been on this season of their journey for 40 years. So by saying that, I think all of you realize that we're talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land. And this group of people, they came out and they started this journey going to Egypt, out of Egypt, going to Canaan. And on this journey, I think it took a little bit longer than they expected it to take. It took them 40 years. And you know, I remember years ago, after I got saved and everything, I've heard this story about them going through the desert, and it's a story we all know. But I came to a place where I started to ask questions about it. Why did it take them 40 years? From where did they go to? Where did they have to go? How long is that distance? And I actually went and searched and to see, okay, but how far was it? I realized it's just under 400 kilometers. That's like Windhoek Swakopmund. More or less. That's how far they had to travel. 40 years. Now guys, I think even if we remove the cars and the everything, if we eat the road, going to Windhoek, it's not going to take 40 years. You know, if you think about it, it's supposed to take more or less about 2 weeks. That's how long it's supposed to take. So what I can clearly see looking at this is it's definitely not about the destination. Not only about the destination. So there's something that need to happen on that journey. Because my question when I realized this for the first time, I had to ask the question, okay, but why? Why 40 years for a journey that's supposed to be that short? Why did it take them so long? And the answer to this simply is because there were certain things that God wanted to change inside of them before he could allow them to go into the promised land. And if you think about this for a moment, this group of people used to be slaves in Egypt. God coming to this group of people, this group of slaves, telling them, I'm giving you this piece of land. I'm giving you this promised land. I want you to go then. I want you to rule in this promised land. I'm giving it to you. But now you're talking about slaves. You're talking about people with a certain mentality where God has come and telling them, you're not going to be slaves anymore. You're going to be sons of the Most High God. You're going in there to represent me. You're going in there to rule. So what do you think was supposed to happen in the desert? That mentality, that slave mentality, had to change to a mentality of being a son. And if we talk about this and if we think about this for a moment, isn't it true that for so many of us, God has made us some promises? For so many of us, God told you, I'm taking you here, I'm taking you there. Maybe not only even promises. Maybe so many of us, we've got certain dreams. Things we want to see that must come to fulfillment in our lives. But it's almost like, sometimes it's almost like we find ourselves in a place where we're feeling trapped. It's like we know where we're supposed to go. We even know the road. We know how we're supposed to get there. But we're just not getting there. We're not making it. We stay in this place where we feel like we're being captured. Can't move out of this place. And I think for them, it's in a sense, it must have been like they can see the promised land is there. It's not that far away, but they just can't get there. It's just out of reach. And maybe even for some of us this morning, you feel like you're in a place where you feel, but what God has promised you, your promised land is just out of reach. How do I get there? What's supposed to come into place for me to get there? Can't something, if something is supposed to change, can't it just change so that I can get there? And I think a lot of times what happened with us is we start to pray for the circumstances, the everything around us to change, for other people and all the other things to change so that we can get there. But you know, if I look at this group of people in the desert, nothing around them was supposed to change for them to get into the promised land. It was them that had to change. Their minds had to be renewed for them to be able to step into the promised land. And the reason for that is I think a lot of times God has got certain plans with our lives. There's certain things He wants to do in your life. There's certain things He wants to do through you. But first, He needs to shape you. You need to change your mindset. Because you can't send a slave to do the work of a son. You need to send a son. If you send a slave to do the work of the son, he's going to mess it up. So it's not about something that needs to happen in the promised land so that they can come. These group of people, their minds had to be renewed so that they can go in. And a lot of times we talk about our hearts need to change. It's the same thing. It's the way we think, it's the way we feel, it's the way we do things that needs to change. Because if we think about this group of people coming from Egypt, God had to change something in their hearts or in their minds, the same thing, for them to be able to step into the promised land and to rule in that place as sons. Now, I think a lot of time, if you think about it this way, I think a lot of times our ability to change is the key of when we are able to walk in or to step in to our promised land. If you look at this group of people, I mean, I thought about it and I thought to myself, but couldn't God just like change them? You've got this group of people coming out of Egypt, but He's taking them somewhere else. Couldn't He just step in and just shape them so that they can go in? But He didn't. He gave them a choice. You know, God will, He will use the circumstances and everything around us to help us to come to places where we need to make choices. So He'll guide us in a direction so that we can come to a place where we need to make a choice. But He won't make the choice for us. You still need to make that choice. And you need to choose, what am I going to do? How am I going to look at what's going on around me? Am I going to stay the same? Am I willing to be changed by God? Because if you think about this for a moment, I think there's a lot of times where, and I'm not excluding myself here, I think there's a lot of times where people come to us and tell us certain things where we feel, but I don't see it that way. And no, I don't see it like that. It's like this. And people can tell you, no, I hear you. But just think about it for a moment. What if it's like this? No, it's not like that. It's like this. You see, it's when we're in a place where we don't want to change. And we don't realize it. Because for us to change, our minds need to be renewed. We need to look at things differently. We need to think about things differently. Because you can have a group of people doing the same course, for instance. Doesn't matter what it's regarding, but you can have a group of people doing the same course. Some of the people will walk out there changed, and some of them not. Why is that? Is that because God loves some people more than others? No. It's because some people chose different than others. That's why. And you see, it's us making that choices. It's us thinking about things in certain ways. But for us to change our way of thinking, to look at things differently, we need to die in ourselves. That's the place where we need to lay down who we are, what we believe, even in a sense. Where we need to lay that down and say, okay, but I'm open to look at this differently. May I say, I'm open to be wrong. Maybe I wasn't right. Maybe I don't know best. I'll allow other people to speak into my life. I'll allow other people to help me to look at things differently. It's a renewing of the mind that needs to take place. So what I'm trying to get at is, I think the ability for us to renew our minds, or the ability for us to change our mind, look at things differently, can be the key for the change of your life. That can be the key that unlocks a whole new season for you. It can be the key that takes you into the promised land or not. Because that's what we see with this group of people. Now, the scripture I want to take you to is in Joshua 4, and we're going to read from verse 1, only 7 verses. But it's where this group of people that came through the Jordan River. So they found themselves in a place where they've been in the desert 40 years. Walking into the promised land. And in that moment, God comes and tells them a certain something that they are supposed to do. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at why is it important for them to do this in that moment of stepping in to the promised land. Joshua 4, reading from verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So what we see is this group of people after 40 years in the desert, stepping into the promised land, God coming to them, telling them, listen, go back to the middle of the river, remove 12 stones from them, put it on this side. Because he said, put it on the place where you've slept last night. So you put it on this side of the river. And you stack that 12 stones on top of each other. So that it can be there as a memorial. So when your children maybe one day ask you about the stones, you can tell them, you know, God stopped this river from flowing. So that we could step through it. Could walk through on dry land to this side. Because the stones is on this side. This is where we came into the promised land. But if you think about this group of people, man, what mixed feelings they must have had. 40 years, it's a lifetime, in the desert. This group of people, and I know if you go read about this whole journey of this group of people, it's the next generation. The generation that left Egypt died in the desert. It's the next generation that came into the promised land. God made this promise. He fulfilled it with the next generation. He didn't fulfill it on the first generation, on that group of people. And the reason for that is because they weren't able to change their mindset. They weren't able to move from that place, from being slaves to becoming sons. And if we think about this group of people, what mixed feelings they must have had. Stepping through the water, coming through the river to the promised land, looking back, thinking of everything that had happened, everything their parents experienced in the time that passed away, in the history. So you've got this group of people thinking, okay, 40 years, we've been through there. Look at everything that we saw. Look at everything that we've experienced while being in the desert. So on the one side, it's that I think in a way you must feel like you're leaving something behind. Yes, there's bad, but there's also good in your past. And you're leaving all of that behind, coming through this river, stepping into the promised land. But on the other side, stepping into the promised land, God didn't give it to them on a silver plate. It wasn't the thing of, okay, by just stepping in here, as soon as you step into the promised land, everyone is just going to flee and you can just have it. It wasn't like that. There were certain tribes still in this promised land. One of those tribes were giants. And this group of people had to go in and take the land from them. If I may put it in a different way, this promise that God gave them, they had to step out in faith and go and take it. They didn't just receive it. So I can really imagine this mixed feelings they must have had stepping into the promised land. And what we see in this important moment is God coming to them and telling them, pile up that rocks. And if your children ask him, tell them why. Tell them this is the place where I stopped the water. This is the place I came through. But I think it was for them as well as for the children. For the moment things become difficult around them, the moment circumstances bring them to a place where they're not sure what they are able to do, whether they're not sure whether they're going to be able to make it, that they can remind themselves, but God sent us here. Because I think a lot of times in our lives, don't know, maybe it's only with me, when things become tough, one of the first questions you ask is, but am I supposed to be here? How did I get to this place? Did God send me here? Or did I come on my own? Am I supposed to be here? Or am I supposed to go back? I think a lot of times when things become difficult and tough, that's the question we ask. Must I stay or must I go back to where I came from? And I think the important thing, if we think about this, is that pile of stones on this side of the river. So even if you decide, no, I'm going back, this is just looking too difficult, you'll get to that pile of stones. And you'll be reminded, but God opened up this river. He stopped this river from flowing so that I can come through. I'm supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to go back to the other side of the river. So I think that memorial, if we can call it like that, I think there's basically two main things or reasons what we can see why it was so important for them to put that up there. I think on the one side, it was for them that when they think back, to remember what God has done in the desert, to remember what God has done in their lives through that process in the desert. But on the other side, to help them to gain the courage to continue what they are supposed to do, to continue on this journey. And I think that's why that memorial was so important to them. And may I suggest that even us today, that we put up memorials to remind ourselves of the things that God did for us, for the things that God did in us, and also to remind us that when things get tough, to help and remind us what our God is capable of. Now, that memorial in your house don't have to be a pile of stones. My memorial that I've got and that I keep with me is a prayer journal. A lot of times when I come to a place where I really experience that I'm in a place where I've got this difficult decision to make, a lot of times when I come into a place where I feel that God is really challenging me to step out in faith and do something, then I start to write down my prayers, all my prayers. And it doesn't matter the confusion and the worries and everything I've got, I put it down on paper in my book. No one else will see it. It's like letters between me and God. So everything is there. And for days and weeks, I'll write in that journal. And then one day I'll put it away again. And then one day, maybe months later, maybe years later, I've got certain challenges or certain choices to make. And the thing I do is I go take out that memorial again. I go take out that book again. And before starting to write down my next prayers, I first go to read my previous ones. But then you look at it from a whole different place. Because the time I wrote it, I was in a place of stressing, of worrying, of not knowing what I'm supposed to do, not knowing how things are going to work out. But now I read it from a place where that is history. Where I know how everything played out. Where I can testify about what God did. And yes, there's some of that stories where God did not give me what I wanted. There's other stories where God really surprised me in huge ways. Where I'm writing down these questions with these question marks, looking back, knowing that He answered me. And He gave me these things. And I can't believe He did. Because I didn't deserve it. But He did. And that will give me the courage to carry on, to push through, to do what I'm supposed to do. I really think all of us, we need memorials like that in our lives. But you see, the thing also about that memorial, it can actually help to shape our mindset. Because in that moment, we start to panic. That moment, we need to make a choice. And we're not sure what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do that. In that moment, our mindset goes in a certain direction. And we start to think certain things that's maybe not even godly. But going back to that memorial, being reminded of what God did and how He did it, it changed my mindset. To be able to think about things the way I'm supposed to think about them. And I think for each of us, it's as important as it was for this group of people that came through that river. If we think about this group of people, what we need to realize, and I know I've said it before, but what we need to realize is God can't send slaves to do the work of a son. You need to send sons. If God has got a plan with your life to send you to do something, first your mindset need to change. May I say that your mind need to be renewed. To become the mind of a son, not the mind of a slave. I want to tell you a little story to try and explain it in a different way. If I tell my son, for instance, I'm giving him the family business. I call him and I tell him, Joshua, I'm giving you the family business. I want you to become part of this family business. I'm in a sense going to step back and I'm handing it over to you. Here it is. Take care of the family business. That son of mine can look at that business and say, okay, yeah, but this is not in place. That is thing going on there, that's not nice. Why did they do it like this? Why didn't they do it like that? And he can start to complain. He can start to look at things from that perspective, saying, but things are not in place. I'm not sure if I even want this, because couldn't they first do this and this and then hand it over to me? But you see, that's the mentality of a slave. That's not the mentality of a son. A son will be grateful for what is given to him. A son, and here I want to use a very important word, a son will take ownership of what is given to him. So that means a son understands that I can step in there, I can take this business, and I can change it. I don't have to accept that this is the way things are and it's always going to be like that. I can change it because I'm a son. This business belongs to my father. He gave me full range to come and to change things. So I can step in here and I can start to complain about what's going on. Or I can step in here, take ownership and change it. And if you think about it that way, in my life, I had a lot of challenges in the past. I'm sure with you, you had a lot of challenges in the past. I think maybe a lot of us today, we're in a place where we've got a lot of challenges, even now. And we're trusting God to take us through these challenges. We're trusting God to take us to a place where we can call it history, where it can be something that we can testify about what God did, is those challenges. But how many of you got testimonies that you can share this morning of by complaining about your circumstances, how we changed? None of us. You see, all of us got, I think a lot of times we've got reason to complain. Looking at circumstances, maybe your circumstances at home, maybe your circumstances at the workplace, maybe things going on in town, in this country. Looking at things, a lot of us, yes, we can complain about things. And sometimes even got the right, I think, in a worldly perspective, to complain about things. But none of us can testify that those circumstances changed because of our complaining. There's a lot of us that can tell stories about how our circumstances changed and how breakthrough came. But normally that story, it's got to do with where we changed our mindset. Normally that story is, we can tell, but it's been this bad and this is what's going on for this long, for this many weeks, years. This is what went on. And if you ask someone that, like that, okay, but where did the change come? That person will start to tell you, you know, I thought about it and I realized. What is realized? Change of mind. I realized something. I changed my mind. My mindset was changed. Change of heart, all of it, same story. But I realized. And once I've realized, whatever God led you to do, maybe you did something, maybe you only started to pray, but you realized. You had the change of mind, renewing of mind, and because of that, the circumstances changed. If that group of people in the desert did not have a change of mind or a change of heart, today we would have been able to talk about this group of people still being in the desert. But they came into the promised land because of that renewing of the mind. And I want to tell the same thing to you. Maybe you're in a place this morning where you feel stuck, where you feel like you're living in the desert. You can see the promised land, you know about the promised land, you've got all these promises that God made you, and you want to see it, you want to see these promises to come to fulfillment. But then I want to tell you, the key for you to see that come to fulfillment is a change of mind. It's to become a son and stop being a slave. It's only a change of mind that take us from the one place to the next. It's a place where we take ownership. It's a place where maybe where we are at, where we can tell ourselves, listen, but I'm here because of choices I made, taking ownership. Lord, I was wrong. Never wanted to admit it, but Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me and help me to move from here. It's a change of mind. And only there, a process can start where God can restore you. Only there, a process can start where God can start to move you towards the plans that He's got for your life. But if that change of mind is not there, you can sit there and you can tell everyone about the promises that God made you, but you won't experience it. We need a change of mind to be able to step into the promises of God. And I think a lot of times, and this is the thing that we don't realize, is we find ourselves in a season, all we want is the season to end so that we can move on. And we're praying the wrong prayers. Instead of praying for your circumstances to change, ask God to change you so that you can accept where you are at. So I'm telling you this morning, only once we accept where we are at, God can move us to another place. But not before that. But it's a change of mind to become a son and to stop being a slave. I want to tell you this little story, and I don't remember all the detail about it, but I've got the idea I can give you anyway. There was this animal, let's say it was a dog. This owner had this dog, but this was kind of a wild dog. So what he did is he put a chain around the dog's neck and he chained him to a tree. So this dog was able to move around this tree. Maybe the chain was 2 meters long. So this dog was able to run around within that distance. And when he ran too far, of course, that chain pulled him back. But it kept him in a certain space. And one day what happened, I don't know what happened with the owner, but someone came and freed this dog. They took off the chain. So this dog was free, could go wherever he wanted. But he stayed in that circle. He was still in that place of, I can't go beyond these borders. This is where I'm supposed to stay. He wasn't free. You see, the thing is, I think with a lot of us, it's the same. With the blood of Jesus Christ, he has freed you. But are you walking today as a son or not? Because although he took you out of a place where you were a slave and you're not in that place anymore, it doesn't mean today you're walking as a son. To be able to walk as a son, you need to renew your mind. That dog, when the chain was removed, his mind wasn't renewed. He was free to go out everywhere he wanted to do anything he was supposed to do. But he never did. He stayed in that place. And this morning, this is what basically what I've got in my heart for each of you. Is that I think it's important for us to be honest with ourselves. I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question, although God has made me free, although he has paid with the blood of Jesus Christ is a price paid on my life so that I can be free, I don't feel free. If you're in a place this morning where you say, okay, but I understand that things and I know that things, it's almost like Christianese. It's a language we talk. We sing the songs about Jesus that made me free. We sing the songs about the chains that's broken. And then you ask someone, but do you really feel that you're living a life where you are free? No, I feel in bondage. Then you're not living as a son. And it's not because the blood of Jesus was not good enough. It is. But it's because your mind needs to be renewed. You need to realize what it means to become a son, or to be a son, and not to be a slave. God's love is for all of us. He paid a price for each of us so that we can live free. And whether it's in the area of finances, whether it's in the area of your work where you're working, the way things are going there, whether it's about sickness, whether it's about sin that you're trying to break away from, this morning I want to tell you, you are free. Just need to realize it. And there's a place I know where God brings us to, where you say, but confess these things to each other. Share things with each other. There's this place where God is telling us, but to bring things into the light. Don't keep it in darkness. As long as you keep it in darkness, the devil will have a field trip with you. Because you're sitting with this thing, and I think with it comes shame. So we're sitting with that, and we're sitting with that shame, and we can't move out of that place. We're in bondage. The chain is gone. But we're sitting there in bondage. Can't step out. Can't step into the promised land. And guys, my prayer this morning is for you to experience freedom. It's for you to step into a place where you are free. Not saying it because it's a Christian thing to say. Not just singing it because it's the word of the song. But singing it and saying it because you know what it feels like. Because you're experiencing it. Because this is the place where God is calling us to. If we talk about changing things around us, if we talk about changing our circumstances, our towns, our countries, it can only come from a place where we are sons. It can't come from a place where we are slaves. So can I ask you, while we're all together here, that we just close our eyes for a moment. So I just want to pray for us regarding this. Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can know that you called each of us to a place of freedom. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ that is sufficient for each of us. And Lord, I want to declare it over every person sitting here this morning that you are free because you are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no bondage that can hold you in this place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm calling out every person to a place of freedom. I'm calling out every person to experience the freedom that you're giving us. And Father, I declare that all chains is broken. But now, Father, I want to pray for the renewing of our minds, Father. That we'll be able to start to see what you've done. That we'll be able to start to experience what you've done. Not what we've done, but what you've done. And Father, I look at that group of people that was in the desert that had to go into the promised land. Lord, they had to go and take it. It didn't just come to them. They had to go and take it. They had to step out in faith for things to come to fulfillment. They had to trust you. They were in a place, Father, where they could have lost their lives if you did not come through for them. But Lord, you did because you promised. And Lord, that same promises you gave us. Because Lord, you said that we are made free. And Father, we choose to believe you. So Lord, this morning I realize that you're calling us out. You're calling us out to a place where we need to take steps in faith to experience that freedom. To really become free. The change is gone. It's not there anymore. But now you're calling us. And this is the place, Father, I realize where we need to make a choice. Am I going to stay here? Or am I going to step out? Father, may every person step out. May this change, may we experience this change being broken over us. You made us free. Father, you gave us breakthrough. You healed us. Father, depression, you told it to go already. Father, let us step into that place of receiving it. Help us to renew our minds. I want to ask you this morning, if you're sitting here and you feel that there's something that God is talking to you about, there's a place where you are in bondage and you need to break through. I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing. I'll finish off with prayer, but after that, please come to the front. Please share with someone where you feel you're in bondage. So that person can pray for you to experience freedom. And I'm declaring this over you and I'm telling you this morning, you're already free. The chain is already broken. No one has to pray over you for the chains to be broken. That's done by the blood of Jesus Christ. But your mind needs to be renewed to experience it. Let someone pray for you for that. Start to believe what God already did. I'm not saying this or not praying this from a place of condemnation, but I'm praying this and saying this from a place where I so really want you to experience freedom. Father, renew our minds, please. Help us, Father, to experience freedom. Help us, Father, to lead other people into that same place of freedom so that you can be glorified, so that we can know what we're talking about when we're talking about the promised land. Lord, it's not only a destination for one day. It's a destination for now. To experience freedom. Because the price was paid. Father, allow us to experience what it means to be sons of the Most High God. to live in that place, to rule over all circumstances that's coming our way. But be glorified in our lives, Father, in every area of our lives. And Father, leaving this place this morning, Father, I just want to leave a blessing here. And I ask you, Father, that you will bless each person here and that you will bless this congregation. Father, I want to pray that you will guide every leader of this congregation in all decisions that they are making. Father, I want to pray for your provision. Lord, I know they are busy with plans to start building. Lord, I want to pray for your provision for this congregation, that they'll be able to testify of your goodness, and that they'll be able to tell people what you were able to do, Father. And Father, that they will raise up a memorial to remind them and to remind their children of what you did. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.